الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد وقال جل وعلا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبعد I began with this ayah because today's topic is on tarbiyah is following the sunnah and I want to remind myself and you that inshallah this whole tarbiyah series is about 52 or 53 sessions and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the hayat and gives me the tawfiq and the taqat then inshallah we will also do 53 Jummah khutbas on this. But if you forget all of them and if you want to remember only one, then remember this one. And that inshallah is enough for all of them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and He mentioned the reason why He created us. And He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ He said, I have not created the jinn and the insan for anything other than my worship. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to worship Him. Allah taught us how to convert every aspect and every action of our existence into ibadah. It was necessary to do this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and told us that He created us only for His worship. But then what He created needs to eat, it needs to sleep, it has physical needs, it has to go earn its living, it has to build a house, it has to bring up children. So if Allah said, I created human beings and jinn only to worship Me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us free to worship Him. Supposing I say, Allah, I will do nothing but worship You and I will be on this musalla 24 hours. I can't do it because during those 24 hours I will be hungry. Okay, so I won't eat. I will be thirsty, so I won't drink. But I have to go to the toilet. What to do? I will sleep. I will try to keep awake as much as possible. Maybe I will even keep awake 24 hours. But what about the next 24? So Allah made us for His worship. But He made us with all kinds of needs. All kinds of needs. Which do not keep us free to worship Him. Then how is it possible to worship Him? But you know and I know Allah never does anything without a purpose and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do something which is or does not order us to do something which is impossible to fulfill. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have created you for My worship, then there has to be a way in which every one of these actions has to become an action of worship. And what is that way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That way is the sunnah. That way is the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for you, the best example to follow is the example of My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In what shall we follow Him? In everything in life. We follow Him in the way He used to worship. Because He said, صَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ يُسَلِّي. He said, worship, pray as you see Me pray. How shall I wake up in the morning? What must I do when I open my eyes? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit up. The hadith narrated by Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit up and he would raise his finger to the sky and he would recite the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah from Aman al-Rasul to the end. This is how to wake up. And how to go to sleep after the whole day is over. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the two surahs, Surah Al-Mulk and Surah Al-Sajda. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha reports and says that he never went to sleep without reciting these two surahs. And then of course other azkar with regard to dhikr. This is a further reminder, so I don't want to go into the details. Inshallah, the Jummah khutbah will do this. But the point is, from waking up to going to sleep, and all the time in between. So if I ask a question, I say, Ya Allah, how do I wake up in a way that this becomes your ibadah? Because you created me for ibadah. Wake up the way my Nabi used to wake up. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the waking up becomes ibadah. Ya Allah, how to sleep? Where my sleep becomes ibadah. Because you created me for ibadah. And you did not say, worship me only when you are awake. So I want to worship you even when I am sleeping. How to do that? Sleep the way my Nabi used to sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everything is in between. Yalla, how should I eat? Eat the way my Nabi used to eat. Three fingers. The two fingers, three fingers and the thumb. The palm doesn't get... The food doesn't touch the palm. Eat from one side of the plate. Have concern for the other person who is eating with you. Give the best food to him, best morsels to him. Sit in this particular way. Eat only so much. Don't eat till the food is coming out of your ears. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Imagine how to eat. Just eating. When I go to the toilet and I pass urine or I pass my stools, how should I wash myself? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave instructions about specifically how to wash yourself. Some of the munafiqeen used to criticize and say, what kind of Nabi is this? He even explains these things in such detail. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my Rabb has instructed me to instruct you because this is part of your life. There is nothing that we need to be ashamed about to speak because that is part of your life. If I don't teach you, then who will teach you? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How to eat? How to enter the toilet? What to say when you are entering the toilet? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'is. What to say when coming out of the toilet? What to say when you are eating, before you begin eating your food? What to say after you finish eating your food? How to eat your food in between? If you go to your wife, how to do that? When you come away, how to do that? When you enter your shop, when you go to your business, when you go to your employment, how to go, what to do, how to do, what not to do? If you are a king of a country, how must you rule this country? If you are a subject under a king, how must you behave? There is not a single aspect of life which has been left untouched. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, in one of his letters, he mentions that he was coming back from, he was on a ship. And they were coming back to India, and on the ship was also Rabindranath Tagore. And Maulana said that he asked Rabindranath Tagore, he said, I asked him a question, and I said that the Brahmo Samaj, which is the system of, you know, the Hindu system of life, he said, Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah told him that the Brahmo Samaj system is such a good system that it focuses on compassion and on justice, and you know, and there's no idol worship in it, and everything is good. I mean, all the good manners and so on and so on and so on. He said, how is it that this thing never really took off? You know, I mean, there are very few people who follow it. There really nobody who follows it. What is the reason? Because Rabindranath Tagore was somebody who used to promote that. He said, what do you think is the reason? And Tagore made a fantastic statement, you know, shows the amount of insight and wisdom the man had. He said, there was no one to demonstrate what Brahmo Samaj is. It didn't take off because there was no one to show by living it what it is. Now you understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Nabi. Why did he say, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةُ الْحَسَنَةِ? Because without the uswa of the Nabi, the deen is impossible to practice. And that is what they try to attack. Today the shayateen and the enemies of Islam, they try to attack the sunnah. They try to attack the sunnah. Why? Because they know if they attack the sunnah and if they convince the weak-minded, then they are out of the deen. Because it's impossible to practice the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sunnah and created the living example of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and made the Nabi a human being. Allah could have sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Why did he need to send Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into an angel. Bigger and more powerful and more closer to him and so on and so forth than Jibreel. Allah is not muhtaj. He's not as if after he created Jibreel, he cannot create. He can create. He could have made Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam into a malak, into an angel. No, why? Because there has to be an example which is followable. And if the person is different from us in terms of his nature, then obviously it's a logical thing to say, well, you know, he was an angel, he could do it. I mean, I am a human being. How do you expect me to do something an angel does? Allah created him as a bashar. قُلْ أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say to them, I am a human being like you. If I can do this, why can't you do this? If I can stand in the right to please my Rabb, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get up in the night? So Allah created this entire system, and that is the uswa of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what's the benefit of the system? This benefit of the system is very simple, and that is, it converts every action into an action of ibadah. Every action. It converts every action of the human being into an action of ibadah. Because when that person does it with the niyyah of following the sunnah, the niyyah of pleasing Allah, and that is why the first hadith in Bukhari is, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِنْ niyyat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa drew our attention to this and said, don't just do things. Make an intention to do this thing. Do it with a clear intention. What's the intention? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are doing that, you're following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we do that, that action becomes an action of ibadah. Everything. You're putting on your clothes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us how to put on the clothes. He told us what dua to make. What should my appearance be like? Like the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What should my speech be like? Like the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What should my akhlaq be like? Like the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What should my relationships with people who are not Muslim? My relationship with the non-Muslims, what should they be like? Like the relationship that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with the non-Muslims. There was a Jewish boy who used to come and hang out with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to be around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one day Rasulullah ﷺ heard that this boy was very sick. So he went to visit him. Some kid. Some Jewish kid. Rasulullah ﷺ went to visit him. He entered the house and he found this boy is dying. He is literally on his, you know, last moments of his life. He was on his bed. Rasulullah ﷺ went and sat down next to him. And he asked about him. And he said to the boy, he said, I accept Islam. He said to him, I accept Islam. Say, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad wa Rasulullah. I will be your intercessor before Allah. And his boy's father was standing on the other side of the bed. So the boy looked up at his father. He looked at his father.
asking him, what shall I do? Here is this man who is my friend. I used to be with him. He is telling me to accept his religion. But this is not our religion. What should I do? What does the father tell him? The father says, obey Abul Qasim. Ajeeb. Baap Musalman nahi uska. He says, obey him. Do what he's telling you. The voice says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And he dies. So what should our relationships with the non-Muslims be like? Like this. There's not one single incident where Rasulullah ﷺ abused a non-Muslim. Not one incident where he abused their gods. Not one incident where he made a non-Muslim look small before other people. Not a single instance where he insulted any non-Muslim in public. Even his worst enemies. There's no instance where he abused Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab. People who physically harmed him, people who emotionally harmed him, and who dedicated their lives to harming him. Not a single instance where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam insulted them or made them, you know, look like a fool before. Never, 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 never. What have we done to this deen? Ajeeb. And then we claim to be Muslims. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for His ibadah, and He showed us how to make every single action of our lives into ibadah. And that method is called what? The sunnah. The sunnah. And this is the grace and majesty of our Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never satisfied with something at a particular level where we would be satisfied. What more would you want? If you followed the sunnah and every action of your life becomes ibadah, is there anything more? Can we ask for anything more? But not Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't leave it with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. He said, say to them, O my Habib, say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they claim to love me, say to them, do my ittiba. Follow me in those things which I have not even instructed you. Follow me and imitate me only because you love me. Follow my way, imitate me, and Allah will love you. Not only will all your actions become ibadah, but Allah will love you. Yuhibbukumullah. And what will Allah do if Allah loves you? Yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives all sins. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. So following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consists of doing what he instructed us and ordered us to do, which is ita'at of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And about the ita'at, what did Allah say? وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who obeys my Nabi and the one who obeys me and obeys my Nabi, verily that person will be with the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed among the Anbiya wa Siddiqeen wa Shuhada wa Salihin. This is the reward for obeying. And what is the reward for doing that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even order? He didn't even instruct that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the men to grow their beards. So if you grow your beard, what will happen? You will be with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment, inshaAllah. And the dalil is the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the reward for doing that which Rasulullah ﷺ did not even order? But you search for that. Did he order that you wake up in the morning and you recite the two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah? He didn't order this. But he used to do it. And you heard the hadith. And you say, inshallah, from tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I'm going to do this. What is the reward for doing that which he did not even order? Just imitating him. What's the reward for that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will love you. Hey! Subhanallah. Ajeeb, eh? Allah will love you. Kya cheez hai? Soch ke dekho. Our problem is we don't think, we don't reflect. Just think about this, just sit quietly in one place and think, if Allah loves me, what is the value of this? Just think. Just think. We run around in our whole lives seeking the love of this one and that one and that one. Entire huge odes are written on the love of seeking the love of somebody. Huge poems are written on seeking the love of somebody, some human being. Stories are written, movies are made, ballads are sung, seeking the love of somebody, a human being. What about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm not talking about you loving Allah. I'm talking about Allah loving you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving us. And this is the wa'ada of the Rabb. Yuhibbukum Allah are the words of Allah, not my words. I am not telling you Allah will love you. Allah himself said. Allah himself said. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the truth of his message. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the reality of this beauty of this deen. And to enable us to convert every action of our lives into ibadah. And enable us to follow and do the ittiba of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the value and show us the power of the love of Allah jalla wa ala in this life wal akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.